Amen. It is good once again to be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth on this wonderful Lord's Day evening. As we started on this morning, we will conclude on this evening with the sermon entitled, I. We looked at several things this morning, reference to I, and we will quickly go through them on this evening. But first, as we read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, there are many people today that think whatever they offer up to God, that God should accept. But we know that God is an almighty God. He is a God that says what he means and means what he says. We find in chapter 9 of the book of Leviticus, with verse 22. Chapter 9 of the book of Leviticus, chapter 9, verse 22. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he came down from offering the sin offering and burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Now, the offering that was lifted up unto them, unto God, was an offering that was pleasing to him. But we find two men that were required to offer offerings unto God, offered strange fire unto him. God, the Bible tells us, consumed them with fire. So when I think I can worship, and God is supposed to accept my worship in a fashion that I offers to him, without any command, God does not accept that. And he punishes I, for doing what is not right. So let's keep that in mind as we continue on this evening with what I say, or what I say must meet God's standard. I like, I heard it from, I feel, I won't, I think. All of those eyes right there are things that people say that they can do. I like, what I like, what I've heard, what I feel, what I want, or what I think. If God didn't say it, God does not care. So let's keep that in mind as we continue with what I say must meet God's standard, reference to I. No one will see me. This is what I think. So therefore, I do what I want to do in the hours of darkness. I don't have to worry about anybody. And that's true. We don't have to worry about anybody because people are generally not out in the middle of the night getting into other people's business. The ones that are out, you know, your mom, your dad, your grandma, your grandpa probably told you there's nothing good going on after the sun go down, or be home before 10 or 11. And some of you had some, you know, pretty good curfew. So 12, be home, because there's nothing good going on after those hours. There are many that wait until those hours before they leave home. Amen. And they go out. And they stay out all night long. No one will see me. Are you sure? Because there's somebody looking all the time. You know, I've had this attitude myself. I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna stay out all night long, and before the sun comes up, I'm gonna be gone from where I'm not supposed to be, and I'm gonna be back home. This was before the married life, of course. But there are some married people that act like this. There are of us, this is before Christian life as well. There are some of us that are Christians that act like this. We're gonna go out and we're gonna do our dirt before anybody ever wakes up. But there's somebody that we forget. Forget about him. Someone that never sleeps. Proverbs chapter 15 and the verses 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch over the evil and the good. So do you think that now, that no one will see me when I decide to do something wrong? When we say that no one sees us, we need to know what we mean. We need to know what that really means. And we need to understand, again, that God is watching all the time. So what you do here, God sees. What you do here when you leave, or what you do after you leave here, God sees. So we have to get our lives in order, and we have to keep them in order to be pleasing unto God. And then we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. I am right. You ever met that person? Always right about something, but yet wrong about everything. We meet them all the time. Sometimes we are that person. I am right. I don't care what you say. I really don't care what the Word of God says. That's what they're saying when we try to teach them the truth. They say, I'm right. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. He tells us what we need to do when we think that we're right. Have we really looked into the scriptures? Have we really stopped to look in the mirror to see if we're right? Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. In the military, there was a litmus test we used to do on chemicals. Find out what type of chemical it is. We have to do this little test. If it comes out this color, it's that chemical. Come out that color, it's another chemical. You do the test. Are you truly a child of God? Can you pass the test? Can we pass the test? If we die right now, can we say that we are going to get into heaven? And you pass the test. He tells you to examine yourselves. You know, we when we were in school, some of us hated pop tests. Or pop quiz is what they called it. We would hate those things because we were never prepared for. At least I wasn't. I don't know about any of you. We got some people out there that made straight A's and they were striving. Give it to us, teacher. Look at them, you better shut up. How many times do we look at people and tell them to be quiet because we will not pass the test? If we examine ourselves, we find that we are not in the faith. We test ourselves, we find that we will make an F in that class. You know, God is a just God. And He wants us to be able to pass the test. He has given us all the instructions. He's given us all the answers. Can we pass the test? We look at people sometime when we talk about God's Word and we look at them searching the Scriptures. And when they find the Scripture to meet or to talk about or to verify what we're trying to get across to them, they look at it and say, that's not for me. Well, who is it for? Who is it for? When we look at God's Word and He tells us how we're supposed to conduct ourselves, when He tells us what we're supposed to do, and when you find that you are not right, are you willing to change? This is a big one right here. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You think that I'm doing wrong? You think that you know, I'm the only one that's doing this. It goes back to that group of cars that's rushing down the highway and the man pulled you over. He was speeding too. I didn't catch him. I caught you. Always trying to get someone else right. Why don't you tell him to slow down? I was only driving 75 in a 55. He was driving 90. Which is worse? See, we have to ask ourselves that question, which is worse? In Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your eye? He says, you hypocrite. You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, others are doing worse things. Who can really judge when you say others are doing worse things? What does that say about you? What that says is this, that you are doing something that is bad. Can you see that? Others are doing worse things than what I'm doing. Why don't you get on to them? That's not the case. The case is this, that we all need to keep our lives unspotted from the world. Why? In order to help the next man out. Galatians chapter 6 and the verses 1 teaches us that. You know, when your brother is caught up in a fault, the Bible says, Paul, as he writes to the church of Galatia, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. So we have to keep our lives in order and not say others are doing worse things than what I am doing. Again, it's about I. You know, I'm not the worst one. You know, there are some people that are doing things that are far more, you know, sinful than what I'm doing. God, when he talks about sin in his word, he tells us the sins in which he will, you know, judge. And he tells us those that are committing a sin that we think is not so bad, that the one that has done something that we would consider worse off than, you know, worse than what we've done, from the liar to the murderer. He tells you that each one, if you die in that state, will be cast into the lake which burns with fire. So can we really say, you know, I'm not doing so bad? Let's quit looking at the next man and let's look at self, to make sure that we have our lives in order. But what about 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6 through 7? Oh, being sincere in what you're doing. Being sincere sometimes is not good enough. That's what we need to consider. There were some duties given to the Kohathites there. Their duty was to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And as they, you know, were there, you know, everyone is issued their oxen and their carts. Everyone was issued those things except for the sons of Kohath, the Bible tells us. Why? Because they did not need any oxen. They did not need any carts because their duty was to carry the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. This is something that we need to understand. God gave the instructions and God wanted them to be carried out the way he specified. But I'm sincere as I worship God. Yes, I know every now and then we want to play a little instrument along with our music in order to sing praises unto him. Has God authorized that? Has he authorized it? We need to consider the things that we're doing. And we need to look in the scriptures and we say, you know, God said not to do this. We need to understand that we need to stay away from it. So the question is this. Just because you are sincere doesn't mean that God is going to overlook what you are doing. And the answer is no, he's not. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. Let's start with verse 5. And David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with psalms and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Wait a minute now. The oxen stumbled with the ark of the covenant, with the ark of God. The oxen stumbled. Is there a problem here? Can anyone else see the problem? We go back to Numbers chapter 4. We come forward to Numbers chapter 6, where we see that oxen were not supposed to be carrying the ark of God anyway. So very well, if they stumble, let them stumble. You're already in sin. But Uzzah, it's a good thing for me to reach out and to grab the ark of the covenant to stabilize it. Uzzah was not one of the sons of Levi, nor the grandson of Levi. He had no right to touch the Ark of the Covenant. So what did God do? And the anger, the Bible says, of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him down there before his error. And he died there beside the Ark of the Covenant. He died. Why did Uzzah have to die? Because Uzzah was in sin. And sin is punishable up to death. So we need to understand that being sincere is nothing that would please God if it is not what God desires. So let's do what's right. When God say, I want it one way, let's give it to him the way he wants it. Let's not say, well, you know, I think that we can change things, or things are not going the way I think they should be, so therefore, let me help them alone. Let me help them out. No, let us not help them out. Let us leave things the way God wants them to be, and God will make sure that those things are acceptable unto him, and he will be glad to accept them. The Bible says there in verse 9, well, let's go to verse 8. And David was angry because the Lord had broken out against Uzzah, and that place is called Perez of Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? How do you think it would go to God? You go back to the very thing in which God said, let the sons of Kohath carry the ark of the covenant on their shoulders. When you do what God says, God will reward you. But when you do not do what God says, he will punish you. And then those that say, I think it would be okay. I see no problem with doing what I'm doing. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we find Ananias and Sapphira there. They got together privily and said, you know, we've sold this land. Let's keep back a portion away from God. I think it'll be okay. But we find that it wasn't okay. See, even in the Old Testament, we find where God punished someone for being sincere. Now we see God punishing someone when they think that what they're doing is okay. Is it okay to tell a lie? Is it okay? No, it's not okay. God did not give us the right to lie. God did not give us the right to hold back anything from him. We say we're going to give it to him. You know, we talk about in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we give as we have purposed in our heart. Well, you purpose to give one thing, but you don't give it. Do you think God is pleased with that? No, he's not pleased with that. Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a piece of their property and a parcel of their land. And there they were supposed to give what they sold to the Lord. But they said, hey, let's just keep back some. Keep back just a little bit. And we find that they did not lie to man. But they lied to God. They lied to the Holy Ghost and was punished for doing so. Both of them lost their lives. See, no difference. With the same God that's in the Old Testament, the same God that's in the New Testament. He's God no matter where he is. He punished Uzzah with death. He punished those two with death. Can he not do the same today? When we say that no one will see me, do you think that God can't punish you by death for being where you're not supposed to be? When you think that I am right, but yet you're wrong, do you not think that God cannot punish you with death? Others do worse things. Do you not think that God can't punish you with death for doing something that you're doing that you think is really not that big a deal? I'm sincere. Uzzah died. I think that it would be okay. Ananias and Sapphira died. What do you think tonight? This evening, what do you think? Do you think that what you're doing, your service to God, holding back, that God is overlooking those things, do you think it's okay? He knows my heart. Yes, he knows your heart. He knows that you can do more than what you're doing, but yet you're holding back. You say that I'm sincere. I know what God has said, but maybe God made a mistake. God makes no mistakes. He's never made one. He will never make one. So let's look at what the Word of God says, and let's make sure that we get our lives in order before it is too late. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to look at the Scriptures and understand that there is but one God and there is only one way to serve Him? And that is in sincerity, in truth, in spirit and truth. Do you understand that? Are you willing tonight to say, you know, what I say must meet God's standard? When we start talking about being converted, when we start talking about our worship service, when we start talking about the way we treat others, when we start talking about our service unto God, are we willing to say it is because of the standard that I see and the standard that I know I need to meet, I am willing to do so? Are you willing? Do you think that someone should have stood up and said, hey, David, it's not going to work. You got this. You got the ark of God on these oxen. That's not going to work. God is not going to be pleased with that. Would you have stood up? Or would you say, hey, man, my shoulders have been hurting. I'm going to let them oxen carry it. Would you have been one of the ones that grabbed the ark of the covenant to stabilize it? Because you thought that that was the right thing to do? Have you, you know, let's not even think about that. You know, we don't live where we have to worry about the Ark of the Covenant anymore to carry it from place to place. We don't have to worry about that. But have you been one of the ones that said that what I'm doing is not so bad? You know what he did? You know what she did? Are you one of the ones that have said that? As little children, we did it all the time, didn't we? What about his grown folks? What about his members of the Lord's church? Do we act like that? Do we say, you know, I know I have a problem, but my problem is not like his problem. My problem is not like her problem. Maybe you have a problem with drinking, and maybe you have a problem with smoking, or maybe you have a problem with drugs. Maybe you have a problem with women. Maybe you just got a problem in general. You know, there are some people that have a problem with lying. You know, they don't think that lying is so bad. Have you ever told a lie and forgot the lie you told and you had to make up another lie? And you got caught in the middle of both lies? That's not so bad, is it? It's not as bad as that man that was drinking and he hit a oncoming car and killed those people in there, but he lived. Now, that man need to be in jail. That man need to be under jailhouse. They need to throw away the key. That man lives to repent of that sin. But you lied and never got it right. Which one is God going to judge the hardest? Well, the one that repented, got it right, his judgment is going to be true. He's going to be able to get into heaven if he died living right. But you, your judgment is going to be true too. But the Bible says in the book of Revelation that you will be cast into outer darkness. Or that lie that you told. Are you willing tonight to look at the standard of God? Are you willing tonight to say that it is not about me any longer? It's about what God wants. Forget about I, and think about the Almighty, the great I am. And that's God. Let's remember Him, and let's remember what He has done, and let's remember what He will do. Let's remember that. He created us in His own image. He created us to be holy because He is holy. Are we willing tonight to look at His standard? There is a standard, and God is going to judge us by His word. So let's get our lives in order, and let's do the things that are right. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, let's forget about all the things in which some man has taught you that were wrong, and let's look at the Scriptures and say that there is a Christ, a Son of the living God, and that is Jesus, the Christ. And let's say I'm willing to confess Him before man on this evening, and let's have your sins washed away in the water of grave baptism. Let's think about Saul. Saul didn't think about, you know, hey, this what I'm doing is wrong, because Saul thought it was right. But when he was taught the truth by Ananias, the Bible tells us when Ananias asked that question, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He did not hesitate. He obeyed the word because it was told to him what he must do, and he did that very thing. Are you willing this evening? Or as we looked at this morning in Acts chapter 8 with Simon the sorcerer, when it was pointed out to him that he was in sin for thinking that he could buy the gift of the Holy Ghost. I won't. Peter said, may your silver perish with you, for you thought that you could buy the gift of God. Let us know this evening that we cannot buy our way into heaven. We need to be actively doing what God wants us to do. Obedient faith is what we all need on this evening. Let's do what's right. If you're here and you're straight away from the foe, we're asking you to come back. For tomorrow is not yours. His word is true once again. You may get a phone call when you get home that one of your loved ones has died. A good friend has died. And you look at your life and you say, my life is not right. I'm not ready to die. Get it right. Get it right. Because it's not about your time. It's about God's time. And when he sends his son back, it's not going to be when you want him to come. It's going to be when God wants to send him. He's coming back one day. The Bible says he's coming back as a thief. As a thief. Are you ready? He's coming back unannounced. Are you ready? I need to forget about the ways of the world and start doing what God wants us to do. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.